Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is down there in Studio X, and he and I are a unified front, unlike that other show I'm on where they give me no promotion whatsoever. That scalawag Richard Cross has forgotten me again. Rhino, if you were on that show, you would promote this show every time, wouldn't you?
Every single time.
Every single time, he said. I believe him. I believe him. I'm not sure what's worse, I got to be honest with you guys. This, that affront, or the fact that Jeff Lebby has the stones to air his coach's show starting at 6:30 tonight. Are you kidding me? You want to go one-on-one with me, Lebby? Like, you stick to calling the ball plays. I'll stick to the radio. All right? Why don't you let me do what's best for business over here? This guy. Don't worry about all that. Glad you guys have joined us here. We are brought to you by the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com. We will be talking up some of the great events happening in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi, just a little later on. But my friends, we have made it through the desert. We have traversed across the tundra. We have gotten to the promised land. Football is here. You can see it, you can taste it, you can smell it. And this weekend in Starkville, Mississippi State will begin the Jeff Lebby era with a game against Eastern Kentucky. I will say this, and we talk about this all the time, you know, that two things can be true at once. I think there's a lot of excitement about Jeff Lebby. I think people believe he is the right guy for the job, and I think people believe that he's going to get this program winning again, and on top of that, he's going to bring an exciting program, an exciting brand of football. I think people believe that. But I don't think people are going to be coming into Starkville in droves this weekend to watch it. I just don't think it's going to be a huge crowd at Davis-Wade Stadium. Well, you know, if stake a top 50, I'd be really, really impressed, to be totally honest with you. It's hot. Expensive. I get it. But I think the excitement for the program is there overall. And I think people are ready to see what Jeff Lebby can do. And I do think that, you know, you get these first three games out of the way, and if State can be 3-0 when they host Florida on September 21st, I think you have a fantastic crowd for that one and a lot of excitement, and it'll show. It'll show in the stands. What am I expecting to see this weekend, Mississippi State versus Eastern Kentucky? I think we talked a little bit about this. I don't remember if we talked about it. No, we didn't talk about it last week. We talked about it on the podcast this week. And that's this word, easy. I want to hit the easy button this weekend with Mississippi State and Eastern Kentucky. Last year, when you go back, and first off, this line, it's Mississippi State, a 24.5-point favorite. What a disgrace. Last year, with a coach who could barely move, They won by 41. This is a really poor FCS team. State should cover that spread going away. If they don't, we got a lot to talk about on Monday. The thing, I said it on Sports Talk, I'll say it here. They say you can't learn anything from these week one games, from these FCS games. I disagree. You can learn plenty. It's just all bad. You can't learn anything good. You can learn plenty bad. So if State wins this game something like 31-10, we got plenty to talk about what's going on in Starkville. But if they win it like they should, which is 48-7, something like that, you can't take much away from that. But it should look easy. If you go back a year ago and really rewatch the game Mississippi State played against Southeastern Louisiana, it did not look easy at times. There were some moments where you're like, what are they doing? And, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, you know what was happening there. The team just wasn't prepared, wasn't well coached. Now, I expect to see different. And so when I talk about easy, I'm talking about a quarterback who goes out and completes 75%+ of his passes against a really, you know, a poor defense. The ball goes down the field, that he's accurate, that he's not, you know, overthrow, underthrow, that's not happening. You know, 16 of 20, something like that from Shapen. That's the expectation level I'm going to sit. If he throws it 20 times, he should complete 16 of them. Maybe, you know, I'll settle for 15. I'll settle. I'll be okay. 15 of 20 is what? Do the math with me. That's 3 out of 5. That's only 60%. That's not great. But I'd be okay. 15 of 20 because you took some deep shots and maybe you just overthrow them. I can live with that. From a running perspective, you tell me State runs the ball 40, 45 times today, I expect that yardage number to be well over 200 yards. Well over 200 yards. 5 to 6, maybe 7 yards per carry. Booth, Daniels, and Lee all getting their share of the carries and all effective in what they do. I expect to see a couple, you know, at least one receiver over 100 yards. I would expect, you know, Kevin Coleman or Trent Hudson or Jordan Mosley to be that guy to have a big game. Coleman is the one I would put my money on. Defensively, I want to see pressure. You know, you can't predict turnovers, you know, because you just don't ever know. Quarterback might just be careful with the ball. You can't predict them. But I can predict sacks, and I expect to see Mississippi State get pressure on the quarterback pretty easily in this one. Again, if they don't, you know what we're talking about. And then from a special teams perspective, clean. Just clean. If you kick a field goal, you kick a field goal. It goes through the uprights. You kick the ball off, it goes through the back of the end zone. Don't give them a chance for a return. You punt the ball, it's a good punt. Just a solid 40, 45-yard punt. Nothing special, nothing fancy. Just solid, clean. And I want to see rotation. You know, if you go back again and watch this game a season ago, the FCS game, you know, State had its starters in deep into the game. I don't want that this year. I want to, you know, and not that State, the game was in doubt at that point. They just didn't rotate the guys. I don't want that this year. I want to see guys get into the game. I like to see all three quarterbacks play on Saturday, if possible. You know, you're going to redshirt Van Buren. This is one of the games he should play in. This one, UMass, and then if he can find a way to play against Toledo, maybe, that would be great. Parsons should definitely play and should probably play most of the second half. In this one. Want to see Stonka Burnside and Mario Craver out there playing in this game. Want to see all three of the tight ends, Sadu Traore, Cam, and Justin Ball. Want to see, you know, 8 to 10 offensive linemen. And then defensively, I want to see as many guys as I can. Because I don't feel like hardly any defensive starting job should just be written in stone, locked in with anybody. Not anybody. So I want to see who's out there and who's playing the hardest and doing the best. So, again, that's something that, you know, you just didn't have in the past few seasons. You know, that's you didn't have your defensive guys coming in and out. You didn't have and for a guy who complained about 1A, 1B when Dan Mullen was doing it, you got to have at least 1B. You got to have at least a second group that you can trust out there. And State, if they had that last year, you didn't really see them. So that's part of the reason State defensively is in the position it's in right now, where you just don't have a lot of knowledge of the team. They don't have a lot of experience. They just haven't had a chance to play. Going to see a lot of new faces out there this weekend. You know, we've talked about it before. Offensively, 10 guys who have never played at Mississippi State will start on Saturday. One guy, Albert Reese, has played at Mississippi State. In all likelihood. Now, if Kevon Lee could make it too, but I don't know if he'll start, he'll get the first snap or not. Defensively, 7 or 8 guys different from a season ago. And even then, maybe only 1 or 2 guys who've played a good deal. I would tell you that DeMonte Russell is probably the only familiar name to a casual Mississippi State fan. Somebody who's not locked into social media, the message boards, they would know who DeMonte Russell is, but they probably wouldn't know. They might know who Hunter Washington is. They might know who Bryce Pollock is. It's just a lot of new here at Mississippi State. But that's okay. I think it's okay to embrace the new. I think it's time to embrace the new. Because the new under Jeff Lebby, if things hold to tradition, especially on the offensive side of the ball, are going to trend upwards. Everywhere this man has been, offensively his teams have been not just good, but great. And so you hope that trend continues. If it doesn't, well, then that's a whole different discussion, a whole different a question we'll have to answer. But by and large, when you look at Jeff Lebby and what he's done, he's been successful. Coleman Hutzler, I mean, if you want to talk about excitement, it's a blank slate. We don't know. But what I do know of Hutzler is I think his defenses are going to be very, very aggressive. And if you're a Mississippi State fan, I think that's good news. State fans love aggressive defense. It's always been a hallmark of this team. And it's always when they've been at their most successful is when they've had guys who could get after the quarterback. If you're not loaded on the back end of the defense, you might as well get pressure. And so that's what Mississippi State's going to be trying to do this Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to being back at Davis-Wade Stadium. Looking forward to college football in Starkville. When we come back, let's go through the schedule for Mississippi State. We haven't done that. We'll go game by game. I'll give you my prediction. I'll tell you why I think each and every game and how it's going to go. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
We're back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Our friends at the first off, my prediction was correct. We did the goat yoga promo last week, and immediately, because of Vicksburg, was like, "Here's a list of our events. This is what we want you to promote." They were like, they weren't going to take any more chances, right? They were like, "No more." So here we go. Every Tuesday at Clear Creek Golf Course. So they had one this week, but it'll be every Tuesday. Senior scrambles out there. Every Wednesday. At 9 a.m., you got to be 50 or older, so I don't quite make the cut. Yes, not a senior just yet. $20 for pass holders, $30 for non-pass holders. The golf pro at the course will make the teams up. Everyone's welcome. You can call 601-638-9395 to sign up, and all your winnings will be put on your club credit account, and you can spend those winnings on anything at the Clear Creek Golf Course. Clear Creek's a great local golf course there in Vicksburg. Been out there many times. I wouldn't say I've played it, but I have ridden it. And I have talked smack to my friends as they played it. So go check that out this week and every week at the Clear Creek Golf Course. 12 games on the schedule for Mississippi State. A new era. The new college football playoff. The new SEC. How do I see it going? So I feel kind of bad when I look at State's schedule because I got them starting off really well. Taking down Eastern Kentucky this week. You might not be surprised by that. I think they go out to Arizona State and win next week. I don't have a lot of faith in Arizona State. I think that's, if you were to rank the Power 5 teams, or Power 4 teams, I guess I should say, Arizona State would be near the bottom. Probably just, ahead of Vanderbilt, maybe ahead of Purdue, but in that area. I think they beat Toledo. Toledo a year ago would have been trouble for this Mississippi State team. I will not lie to you and tell you that they wouldn't have been. But they lost a ton from last year, including their quarterback. So I think State gets that win. So they're 3-0 playing that Florida game. You guys have heard me talk about Florida and how down I am on them. And I just don't like Florida in this game. I have Florida coming to Starkville at 1-2. I have them losing to Miami and losing to Texas A&M. And I think the wheels are starting to come off of that team pretty early on. So I've got State winning that game and starting out 4-0. And that's a ton of excitement and a ton of buildup. And you get the bye week, and then you're going to go and you're like, okay, let's see what the second month of this season brings. And what it brings is one of the most difficult schedules in college football. I'm sorry, you don't have the bye week, but you go into September or going to the end of September, into October, and you're like, all right, here we go. What's going to happen next? You're at Texas. First game ever in Texas SEC history. That's their first conference game is Mississippi State. State will be the answer to a trivia question somewhere down the road. I don't like the Bulldogs' chances in that one. The best case scenario for me in this game and in the next game, which is at Georgia, I have State losing both games. I've done this a bunch this offseason where I've sort of made the comparisons to that Ole Miss team in 2020, Kiffin's first year where Levy was there, where they were really bad defensively but really great offensively. When they played the two teams that played in the SEC championship game that year, Alabama and Florida, they didn't win those games. And I wouldn't say that there was ever a time in those games where you're like, well, they could win this. But they were competitive. They were able to move the football. They were able to score a lot of points. They just couldn't stop the opposition. If those two games look like that, and I, off the top of my head, I know the Alabama score was 63-48 in terms of that's what Alabama won by. And then Ole Miss Florida that year was 51-35. Now, I don't know that the state's going to put up 48 and 35 on Georgia and Texas. I'd be really, really surprised if that happened. But if the final score is something like 42-28, 42-24, where you go into the fourth quarter and it's not quite a blowout, it's like 35-24 and they get a late touchdown. Man, you did okay. You did okay. As far as losses go, that's about the best you could have hoped for in there. So 4-2 coming back home, but I don't like them against Texas A&M. I will say that A&M, outside of the games I've predicted State to win, A&M is the one where you think they might have the best chances. At home, A&M's ranked 20th. You look at their schedule to that point, they will have already played Florida and then have already played Missouri. They could have a couple losses. I think they'll beat Florida. They also played Notre Dame. But I think A&M gets the win. So you go from 4-0 to 4-3. And I think, you know, the ups and downs are just something you have to accept this season. One thing about from the C Spire text line, which, by the way, of course, if you want to join the conversation, do so with the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. One thing about this year, they have nothing to lose. State should play loose every game. They should play with that kind of freedom. I do agree with that. And I don't know how, if that's overrated or not. The idea that you can just play with nothing to lose. But I think state has that. So if that is a real thing, yeah, State can definitely take advantage of it. I think State gets back on track after the A&M game with a couple of wins, and this is where they get the bowl eligible. I think they beat Arkansas. I don't like Arkansas at all. I think that they are going to struggle. I think by the time that you get to this point, Sam Pittman's hot seat will be enough to get him off of it and have him move into. I've said it before. I think Pittman's fired the week after the Mississippi State game. They play Ole Miss. They lose that game. They have a bye week before they play Texas. I think that's where they get rid of Pittman. But I think State beats Arkansas and then beats UMass to get to 6-3 on the season. And it's just a really tough way to finish the year. At Tennessee, off Missouri at home, and then at Ole Miss. I think State finishes on a three-game losing streak. But 6-6 in the first year should be viewed as a success. For Jeff Levy, it should be viewed as he did about the best he could in this situation. Because it's just a tough schedule. There's a lot of transition. And look, at the end of the day, Mississippi State is on its fifth head coach in 8 years. All right, that's something that hardly any program could survive. Even one that would recruit top five classes year in and year out, you've got to have some continuity. You've got to have guys getting comfortable in the system. Even in this day and age of the transfer portal, you want to have some players in your locker room who have been there and understand what's going on and understand the culture and understand, you know, what you're asking of your team. And State, I mean, by and large, just doesn't have a lot of that. Because, you know, they've had three different cultures and three different leaders in the last three seasons. That's just about impossible for any team to overcome. So getting to a bowl game, I'm not saying that that's like my minimum standard of acceptance. I think that, you know, if State goes 5-7, if they drop that Florida game, but if this is a team that's averaging 30-plus points per game, and offensively you can tell they're much better and they're going to get better as they add talent, and defensively they're not the worst defense you've ever seen, they're just lacking some talent and you feel like they can get that back in the recruiting world and back into the portal, then you're fine. You're fine. Yeah, does it sting to have that kind of season while Ole Miss is likely going to the college football playoff? Absolutely it does. It would sting on the other side of that rivalry, too. It would sting anywhere else. You don't think Auburn feels bad when Alabama has these massive seasons and they're going 6-6, going 5-7? It kills them. It absolutely kills them. But you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. State fans have got to enjoy this season in the maroon and white bubble. You got to just be able to look at your team and just get through it week to week. Will State get any credit if they start out 4-0? That's a good question. You know, could State be in the top 25 if they started out 4-0 and going to Texas? Could they be 25th? I don't know the answer to that. They're not getting any votes at all for the top 25 right now. So it would have to, you know, they would have to pick up a lot of momentum. I don't know if they I don't know that they can get the early credit. And then by the time that, you know, you talk about being 4-3, it'll just be like, well, this team is starting to do this, that, and the other. Reckless abandon is good sometimes. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I know fans want to see a ton early, but why show your abilities until Texas? Zero tape on us, so come out and show Texas what SEC ball is. The problem with that is I feel like that's something that fans talk about. I don't think it's very real. If you're Mississippi State, when you go to Arizona State, you have to win that football game. You can't hold back saying, well, we need to keep something off film for Texas. And I would say that for Florida, too. You certainly can't hold back and play vanilla and expect to beat Florida. So that's just not the way it has to be. You have to go out and play everything. Everybody has the film on Jeff Lebby, especially Texas. He was at Oklahoma the last 2 years. You don't think Oklahoma or Texas knows the tendencies and the way that Jeff Lebby wants to run his offense? Nah, you can't do stuff like that. I think that's just something that fans say, like we're gonna play vanilla. If you're watching your team and you're thinking they're just playing vanilla, they don't want to give anything away for the next game. Your team's just not very good. They're not hiding anything. They aren't very good. I remember thinking that in 2012 with Dan Mullen. You're like, you know, they started out 7-0 and they hadn't beaten anybody. And you're like, man, they're just saving it up. When they play Alabama and Texas A&M, they're going to unleash on them. And that wasn't the case. That what it was is what it was. So how the heck does Rhino go from good things to Smash Mouth Radio? Are we Smash Mouth Radio here? I mean, I do like to run the football. I am a run-the-ball enthusiast, so I don't know. Rhino's a man of many talents, though. He knows what he's doing. He's got it all taken care of. So, all right, when we come back, I'm going to give you some things to watch for this weekend. Just some players, what you should be looking for, what you might expect to see. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. VisitVicksburg.com is the website. This Friday, the annual Red Carpet Bowl. High school football in the city of Vicksburg at Warren Central and at Vicksburg. So I guess this is different than when it was when I was in high school. So I'll just read this and then we'll talk a little bit about it. But the high school event will begin at 7:30 at both Warren Central and Vicksburg. Vicksburg is playing Holmes County, Warren Central playing Clinton. That's an old school rivalry to play first in the year. Wow. $10 tickets per game. Tickets can be purchased at www.gofan.com. For more information, call 601-638-5122. So when I was a junior, they brought back the Red Carpet Bowl. First off, used to be a postseason game, and it was if whoever was hosting a playoff game, you could play in the Red Carpet Bowl. So St. Alice played in it back and then. Vicksburg has played in it. Warren Central's played in it. Then when I was a junior, they turned it into not a jamboree, but like a triple header. They would be three full games. St. Al would play, then Vicksburg, and then Warren Central. And the first year we played it at Vicksburg. The second year we played it at Warren Central. And I think St. Al got out for two reasons. One, we always had to play the early game. So you're talking about a 2 o'clock kickoff on an August Friday. Not fun. Especially when you wear purple. Not great. And then two, it was never going to be played at St. Al. Now, I understand that part of it. It's because St. Al didn't have the facilities to host 4 5A football teams at the time. But making us play first was tough. It's hot out there, man. I still remember how hot it was. It's 102 before the heat index on that Friday afternoon my senior year. And wearing a purple jersey and gold pants with a purple helmet. And dumb Brian wanted to look really cool, so he got one of those visors to put over. I couldn't breathe. Into that game, I took that visor off. I was like, never again. I could not breathe in that helmet. So, looking cool. Not always worth the price you pay for it. So, what are we looking for on Saturday? You know, obviously beyond the final score. Let's start with Blake Shapen. If you went to the spring game or if you've watched it since then, you saw a quarterback that looked like he had good command of the offense. He was accurate with his passes. He was able to throw off the run, and the deep ball was there for him. So I want to see those three things again today, on Saturday. I want to see Shapen in command, not hustling, not rushing, going through his progressions, finding the open man, hitting them with an accurate pass, taking it from there. When they throw deep, I want the ball on the money. He's got the arm to do it. He's got the accuracy. I don't think that's a huge issue for Blake Shapen. For as far as the running game goes, you know, we've talked a lot about that this offseason. The quarterback run piece of this offense is big. If you're an Ole Miss fan, you know that Matt Corral, his ability to make plays with his feet was a large part of what made Ole Miss so successful. I don't think Shapen is the runner that Corral was. But he can move in the pocket. He does have some mobility. I don't think you'll see him run the ball very much in this game. Now, will he scramble? You know, if he's under pressure, does he try to get away? That happens. But as far as designed runs, or maybe, you know, getting out of the pocket quickly, no. I think he'll be told, hey, stay in the pocket. If you got to roll out a little bit, that's fine. But just get rid of the ball. Don't be looking downfield with your feet, because they want to keep him healthy, and then that's just an easy way to do it. So that, you know, but that's one of those things where it's difficult, right? You don't want him to tell him to play scared. You don't want to tell them, hey, you know, you got to have this in the back of your mind. That's how you get hurt. So I just think they'll be careful with their approach to him as far as the running game goes. The actual running game, the running backs, you've got three guys to keep an eye on. Now, Xavier Gayton, the true freshman out of Brookhaven, he's going to get some reps. But by and large, we want to keep our eyes on Kevon Lee, Johnny Daniels, Devon Booth. Booth is the one I have the most interest in, because I think he's the most explosive guy in the bunch. I think that Booth is the explosive guy, Lee is the power guy, and Daniels is the combo back. So if we're going to make the same comparisons that we continue to make with that Ole Miss team, I would say Booth is more like Jerrion Ealy, Kevon Lee is more like Snoop Connor, and Johnny Daniels is more like Henry Parrish, if that makes sense. And they all can do different things. I think they can all play within the confines of this offense. And so State, I think, and I've said this before, I think State's going to be kind of run heavy. You know, when they throw the ball, and they'll have to try to get it down the field. And they're going to try to have that vertical passing game. But I think at the end of the day, this offense is still at its heart a very, very much a running offense. You know, Lebby has both his teams have been good at running the football. The big plays are there in the passing game, but they're also very much a running offense. And so I expect in this game to see 40-plus runs. And to that end, I expect to see 200-plus rushing yards. I think State should be around 450 to 500 in total offense in this game, and if they're not, that's a concern for me. You're playing an this is a bad FCS team. Let's point that out. Their record last year is weird. 5-6, right? So you think, okay, you should blow them out. They only lost to Kentucky by 11, but that ended up being a sign of things to come for Kentucky. They weren't very good last year. They went 6-6 on a year where they thought they were going to win 8 or 9 games. So, again, when you play an FCS team, you can learn things from it. They're just all bad. So, at the receiver position, no Kelly Akari. I guess we haven't brought that up, that Levy told us on Monday that Kelly Akari is out for this one. Could be out a little longer. Don't know the full extent of that yet. But Kevin Coleman is the guy I'm going to have big eyes on in this one. Yeah, you know, I thought he was really good in the spring game. I think he'll also play a role on special teams. So Kevin Coleman is a guy to keep your eyes on, somebody to watch in this game. I also think you should keep an eye on Jordan Mosley. We've heard a lot out of camp that he's had a great camp, that he's ready to make a big contribution. That's a guy that when he transferred to Mississippi State, you thought, okay, he looks the part. He could be big, and you know, as in Mike Leach's system. Never happened. Has battled injuries, battled inconsistency. but apparently is ready to take that step forward this year. So we'll see if that happens for Mississippi State. And then Sadu Traore is one to watch as well. The big tight end from England, transferred from Colorado, from Arkansas State to Colorado to Mississippi State. This offense, when it's at its best, the tight end is a key piece to it. And you're talking about finding the tight end wide open. Wide open. So if you can, if Traore is a guy that if he can find those seams in the defense, he can make them pay with big plays. The offensive line, I just expect them to protect, and that's what I'll be watching for. I'll also be watching to see, you know, who are the first guys off the bench. I think right to or left to right now, you're looking at Pounders, Jackson, Minor, Martinez, and Reese. Leon Bell will be in that mix to move guys around. Cannon Boone perhaps will be in that mix to move guys around. So there's seven. Who are the other two guys for Mississippi State? You want to have maybe 9 or 10 guys you can rely on there. So who are they? We'll see. Also, you know, Pounders, definitely interested in seeing how he protects. You know, had such a great 2 years there at Memphis. But now you've upped the, not that this is an SEC opponent, but should be dominant out there. And then defensively, I mean, I just expect to see 25, 26 different guys getting reps throughout the first half and early in the second half before you just go completely to your reserves. I just don't know that there's any player on this defense that I would just say right now should play the majority of the snaps, especially in this game. Stone Blanton is the guy on defense who's got the communications in his helmet, so obviously that's somebody who's going to, I guess he's going to have to be on the field a good bit. I don't have a clear picture yet on the communications, and I need to ask that Monday at the press conference if it doesn't get asked this weekend. So we will we have to keep an eye on, you know, who has the green dot on the back of their helmet. Obviously, it's Chapin when they're on offense, and you know that'll probably change when they change quarterbacks. So they might just, you know, when they feel like they've got the game in hand and they're ready to take Chapin out, they might just go, okay, we're just going to signal plays in the old-fashioned way the rest of the way. I'm interested in the rotations, though, at all three positions, at the defensive line, at the linebacker, and in the secondary. Who's playing where? Who's lining up where? Who's playing with whom? You know, how do they mix it up? I'm interested in that Jack linebacker position, that hybrid pass rush where Ty Cooper is likely to start. Brandon Jennings, the JUCO transfer from Hines, who's played some Power 5 football at Central Florida and at Maryland. So coming in for, you know, this is his fourth different school. We'll see if he can finally find a home here at Mississippi State. And then Dontari Russell, who's a guy I like, had some big moments a season ago, but undersized for sure for Mississippi State. And then the secondary, who steps up at those cornerback positions and sort of not locks down receivers, just locks down the position. Kelly Jones, Bryce Pollock, you know, what can they do there? Trevon White, Diego Brumfield, the two Memphis transfers, what can they do there? Those are things to watch. And then in the special teams, I just want to see Kyle Ferry making field goals. If he's called upon to make a field goal from 40 in, it should be good. I think that's a very fair, reasonable expectation and something to watch for. And I want to see in the return game, who replaces Tulu Griffin and Xavion Thomas? State's had great return game the past couple of years. I think Coleman gets a shot, Whittemore gets a shot, Booth gets a shot, but we'll see who else. Maybe Mario Craver, that's a spot where he could come in and play. So we'll see. Those are some things to watch this weekend. I'll give you some my prediction. I'll tell you what we've got going on as far as coverage this weekend. I hope you guys will tune in with me. I'll tell you what's happening from the Davis-Wade Stadium press box this Saturday. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hey, this is Bob.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Currently having a text conversation with our old friend Brian Scott Rippey, who is doing a thing with the Ole Miss Alumni Association. He said, he's talking to me about the 92 Egg Bowl. Thanks. Really wanted to relive that painful memory today while I'm live on the air. Appreciate that, friend. Ish. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk, Mississippi. This Saturday, after the game, I've been thinking for like months about how I wanted to do my post-game, my coverage of Mississippi State football. Because I felt like just going up in the press box, tweeting about the game, and then writing a quick article, like, what am I doing? I'm doing the same thing that everybody else is doing. I'm not doing anything unique. I'm not standing out. And maybe that's just, you know, me, but I wanted to do something a little different. I felt like a couple years ago we had something different. We had a really great thing going with that Spotify Green Room post-game show. But then Spotify killed that app, and so I can't continue with that. So I'm going to try to bring it back as best I can, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a post-game show every week after each game, home and away, on YouTube Live. So if you are a subscriber to my YouTube channel, or if you follow me on Twitter, we'll have a link, and you can watch the post-game show every week. That's going to be brought to you by the good folks over at Paul Davis Golden Triangle. Paul Davis Restoration. We'll be telling you a little bit more about them and what they do on the post-game show. But I got them on board with me today and looking forward to that relationship. But I'm looking forward to doing these post-game shows. And there will be a chat function, so we don't have the live callers, which is what made the old show. It really did, having you guys call in and talk with me after the game. But we will be able to chat and talk about the game, so, you know, kickoff's at 5, so let's hope for a little bit after 8. We can be talking football on Thunder and Lightning post-game on YouTube Live. Looking forward to that. Prediction time, I guess. I want to say this, and I talked about it earlier. The line on this game is 24.5. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Here are the scores of the last decade against an FCS opponent for Mississippi State, starting with last year. 48-7, 56-7, 55-10, 45-7, 63-6, 49-0, 56-41. We'll come back to that. 62-13, 45-16, 51-7. Noticing a trend? They're all ridiculous blowouts, except for one. That's 2016. That was the year where State was really, really bad defensively. So I say it again. You can't take anything from these games unless it's bad. And you can absolutely take the fact that it's bad from that season. Watching that game, at that point, that game was played in the middle of the year. You already knew State was not very good that year. But that game really solidified it. Watching a FCS Samford team tear up Mississippi State on offense. It was ridiculous. So if you see that on Saturday, then I'm just going to go ahead and tell you it's going to be a long, long season for Mississippi State, because that 2016 schedule and this 2024 schedule are not the same. It's much tougher this year for Mississippi State. But at the end of the day, I mean, you think about how bad last season was for Mississippi State from a coaching perspective, and they still won this game against Southeastern Louisiana 48-7. It shouldn't be close, and I don't think that it's going to be. I think that Mississippi State, well, all the things that I mentioned, I feel like Jeff Lebby has gotten this team to the point where he knows that he's been selling this idea of showtime, so he's going to put points on the board on Saturday. I'm not saying he's going to run it up. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying that if he can get over 50, he will, and I think he can get there, and he can get there pretty easily. So my final score prediction for this one, Mississippi State wins over Eastern Kentucky. I'm going to go 52-13. Could be more. Could be a little less. What's my cutoff? 42-28. We got real, real issues with Mississippi State. 42-21. There's issues on both sides of the ball. On both sides. If you come out and tell me we're going to have showtime, and it's going to be a show, and there's going to be a lot of excitement, and they only put 42 up on an FCS team, I don't know what the show is going to look like the rest of the year. I don't feel too good about it. So 52-13, I walk out of that stadium saying, okay, we're good. One day Thunder and Lightning can be sponsored by Cross Money. I mean, I don't know. Cronk, he's on the other side of that line. I don't know if I can get his money in. But I would certainly take it. I would absolutely. We would be Thunder and Lightning sponsored by Richard Cross Enterprises. Cross LLC. Call it what you will. We shall see. Football is back. I hope to see you at Davis Wade Stadium this Saturday if you're making the trip. If you run into me, if you run into Robbie Faulk, please say hello. We love to meet our fans. We'd love to talk with you guys if you want to take a picture. I think it's weird that people want to take a picture with me because just a guy. But, hey, I'll do it. I'll absolutely do it. If you are traveling, travel safe. And I'll be back with you next Wednesday. Tomorrow I'll be in Oxford. So I'm really looking forward to that. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.